Today on Family Talk.
Researchers and educators often refer to the worldview that is held by the people they study. But what exactly does this term mean? Simply put, your worldview is the way you view the world. For a Christian, your worldview would mirror biblical truth. For those outside the faith, it's possible to hold one of many different views of the world. For many years, a majority of Americans, both Christians as well as unbelievers alike, held to a Christian worldview. But these days, that number has changed, and one of the nation's most noted Christian researchers is joining us in studio today to discuss this phenomenon. Doctor?
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, James Dobson, and with me in the studio today is a very familiar person that many of you will know or will have heard of. He's George Barna, and I believe that you will find his current research to be very fascinating. There's a lot to discuss today. I'm just deeply honored to have George with us. He's been a friend for a long time. But before we get into our conversation, I want to tell you a little bit about our guest today. George Barna has filled executive roles in politics and marketing, advertising, media development, research, and ministry. He founded the Barna Research Group in 1984. Now called the Barna Group. He doesn't own it anymore. You sold it, right?
That's correct. George? Yes.
You started it in your name and then said, enough of this stuff. You passed it off.
Nobody's listening to me. Let somebody else struggle.
Yeah. And he has helped it become a leading marketing research firm focused on the intersection of faith and culture before selling it in 2009. Through Barna Group, George has served several hundred parachurch ministries, thousands of Christian churches, and many other nonprofit and for-profit organizations, as well as the U.S. military. He currently serves as executive director of the American Culture and Faith Institute. That's a division of United in Purpose, and is president of MetaFormation, a faith development organization. Barna has written more than 50 books, mostly addressing cultural trends. And he is now finishing a project that has great significance for people of the Christian faith. I think you're going to find what he now has learned about many of us, all of us really, because he interviewed 6,000 Christians of all stripes. And we're going to get some of his findings today. George, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Doctor, it's great to be here. Great to see you again.
You have been a busy man, haven't you?
Well, yeah, it's been a busy time. But when you look at the alternative, I'm happy about that.
And the main thing you're working on now is a Christian worldview. What is it and how many people hold to it?
Well, the whole idea of a worldview is that every one of us has a worldview. Many people don't realize that. They think that's for academicians or something. But everybody has a worldview because it's simply the filter that every one of us has in our mind and our heart through which we understand the world and interpret the world and respond to the world. It's the thing that helps us to make sense of the world around us. And so there are many different ways that we can interpret all of these things, different contexts we can place them in. And therefore, there are many different worldviews.
Now, you told me something when we had lunch a while back that really shocked me. You said that children begin to develop a worldview when they're 2 years of age.
Yeah, essentially 18 months of age. Yeah.
Explain that.
I mean, what's happening is because a worldview is the filter that you need to make sense of the world, we begin developing it very young. And so we're taking cues all the time from what's going on around us and how our responses to those cues are received. And so we begin to put it together into an understanding of how reality works, what our place within it is, and how we can get what we want.
All right. How does a child that young begin to develop a worldview? He wouldn't even know what one is. So how does he assimilate that information?
Many of them can't even speak at that point. So
yeah.
This is happening with nonverbal cues where they'll cry and they'll see what kind of response it gets. They'll hit. They'll see what kind of response it gets. You know, if it's punishment, if it's reward, if something makes them happy, it makes them sad, all of that starts to go into their brain and they start to put it together into, okay, this works, that doesn't work. This is good, that's not good. This got a positive response, mommy didn't like that. You know, so we're beginning to put it all together at a very young age, not so much with the world at large as the world at small, if you will, that little kind of planet that a child that young inhabits, primarily in the home and with family members. But then as they begin to age and they start playing with other kids down at the playground, new kinds of cues are coming in about what they can and cannot do, what reaps success, what reaps failure. That's all going into this data bank that we call our brain, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what works and what doesn't.
In what way is that a worldview? When I think of a worldview, I think of God, I think of the universe, I think of the Bible, I think of right and wrong. I think of things related to spirituality. You're using it in a much broader context, having to do with the culture and what it approves and what it doesn't approve.
Or what gives us a feeling of purpose and success and value. All of those kinds of things are part of that as well. So what we believe in terms of our faith ultimately becomes a critical part of that. But the first way that we experience faith views is by how other people treat us, how other people respond to us. You'll treat a child differently based upon whether you believe what the Bible teaches is true or whether you think that it's false. And in the same way, all of the kinds of cues from watching your parents, watching your siblings, watching your extended family, watching your neighbors, you're always taking information in and trying to make sense of it. And that's what begins to paint this portrait of reality for you. And you figure out, how do I want to fit into that picture?
What distinguishes a Christian worldview?
Yeah, and we actually talk about it as a biblical worldview. Some will say Christian worldview. Maybe there are distinctions. I'm not sure. But when I talk about a biblical worldview, what I'm saying is as you're trying to make your place in the world, as you're trying to figure out what that place should be, what your character should be, what it is that you should aspire to, what you believe you've been gifted to do or prepared by God to do, those kinds of cues come from the Bible in a biblical worldview, as opposed to coming from what you saw on television, what you heard in music, what you heard two of your friends saying to each other. In other words, all of the other influences in the world. It really is, in many ways, in American culture today, either the Bible or the rest of the world, because we've gotten to a place where it's so unusual for God's values, God's principles to be represented in the world that it's almost become a black and white reality.
All right. And so you've given them names. The biblical worldview is that. What do you call the cultural worldview?
I mean, for lack of a better term, we summarize the dozen or so other worldviews, secular humanism, existentialism, postmodernism, New Age, all of these other worldviews. We just call them secular worldviews, because it really is secular in the sense that that's from the world, it's of the world, as opposed to a biblical worldview, which is a way of understanding and responding to life based on God's principles.
So you sent researchers into the field and you interviewed 6,000 people, is that correct?
That's right.
And asked them what they believe.
We had 40 different questions that we were asking them, 20 about their beliefs, 20 about their behavior. And right there, that's different than any other worldview study that's been done, because usually worldview studies are based just on beliefs. But over the years, I've come to understand, you know what? If you don't live out what you say you believe, you don't really believe it. You do what you believe. And so it's important that we put those two together. And if people say, oh, you know, I believe that the Bible is all important in my life, and then we find out that they never read it and they don't know what's in it, they don't believe the Bible's all important in their life because their behavior doesn't support that belief. So, yes, we had 40 different questions that we asked, and then we put it all together statistically and tried to figure out what percentage of people have what might be considered to be a biblical worldview.
When you have consistency between the biblical perspective and behavior, you call that an integrated worldview.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We actually start calling those people integrated disciples. Disciples because we know that they're trying to follow Jesus.
Yes.
They want to walk in his footsteps. They want to be like him. The whole idea of having a biblical worldview is you want to be Christ-like. And so you're trying to think like him because what you think affects what you do. And ultimately, you become Christ-like through what you do. So it's all together. It's all integrated.
What you're really doing is trying to test and locate and identify those that have both a biblical perspective on what the Bible tells us is right and wrong, and they go out and live it.
And part of the reason for that is because we know that being a Christian isn't just about having head knowledge. It's about being a servant of God and other people. It's about how you take that knowledge and you translate it into action. And so that's why we're trying to find out, well, how many people have been able to integrate what they might hear in a sermon on Sunday, what they might read in the Bible, what they might have heard discussed at their small group. That's all well and good stuff. But if you just leave it in those places and you don't integrate it into your heart and say, well, that's the kind of person I need to become, and then you work on becoming Christ-like in whatever context you find yourself, you don't have that biblical worldview.
You have in front of you some of the data that have come from this study having to do with the percentage of people in various categories that have an integrated biblical worldview. Share us some of that.
It's not a pretty picture.
It's fascinating and very discouraging.
It is. And you know, people have told me when I come to speak at a church, oh, this is George Barna. He has the gift of discouragement. You know, that's not my point. You know, I don't shoot the messenger here, but it's important that we understand where we're at, because if we want things to get better, we have to know, well, where did we start in order to figure out whether we're getting better or worse. And so we did this research and we found that across the country, among all adults 18 years of age and older, only one out of every 10, just 10% of them, have a biblical worldview.
That is America?
All of America. Yeah, right.
10% of us know what we believe, and those beliefs come from Scripture and from what we've been taught as a child about what the Bible tells us is right and wrong and how we're supposed to live. And only 10% of them have an integrated worldview. In other words, they live it out.
Exactly. 10%. Right.
90% do not.
Right.
George, that's terrible.
It's bad. Now, some people have come up to me, pastors in particular, have come up and said, yeah, but what about born-again Christians? So we broke it out among born-again Christians. And this is not just among people who call themselves born-again, because I know that's not a good way to measure it. So we have questions that we ask about people's theology. And as researchers, after the fact, we will classify people as born again or not. Among the born again people, which are those individuals who have said they know that when they die, they'll go to heaven, but only because they've confessed their sins and have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, with that group, and that represents 31% of the adult population in the country, with that group of people, only 30% have a biblical worldview.
So 30% of 30%.
Yeah. And the reason that that's so disturbing to me is because those are the individuals who we count on as being the backbone of the American church, the people who take the positions of leadership, the people who do the teaching, the people who are working with our children. You know, we mentioned earlier that a worldview is developed between 18 months of age and 13 years of age. What people are doing in there in the children's programs, that is the single most significant ministry taking place in America. And so looking at the fact that the vast majority of those people do not have a biblical worldview, they do not live as integrated disciples, is it any wonder that as time is going on, we're seeing generationally, we are losing the battle even within the church? We don't have to go outside the walls of the organized church to say we're losing the battle. We can look at the numbers that I've been putting together for over 30 years now, and we can see that those numbers are on the decline. I don't have this particular study that I did 30 years ago, but I've been doing worldview studies for 20-something years now. And I'll tell you that those numbers are going down. In fact, if we looked at things generationally, we can see that among the two older generations in America, the boomers and the builders, 16% of them have a biblical worldview. You go down to the Buster generation.
What's that age range?
That's like early 50s and older. And then if you look at the Busters, which would be probably late 30s to early 50s, only 7% of that group. You go down to the millennials, you're down at 4% of the adults in the millennial generation having a biblical worldview. So the further on we go in American history here, as we look at each succeeding generation, the proportion of adults who have a biblical worldview is dramatically dropping. And some people have said to me, well, that's not a problem. We just get them in church and we teach them. What we find is that a person's worldview rarely changes after the age of 13. It happens. The Holy Spirit can change anybody at any time. Doesn't even need my permission. You know, that worldview can change overnight. But as a researcher, I look at the norms. And normally, that doesn't happen. That's the aberration. That's the odd experience. So we're not in a good situation.
George, that is discouraging. I mean, the truth of the matter is we're not really a Christian nation, at least not an integrated Christian nation, if you define it by worldview.
Oh, no, we're not even close. And as I look at all of this, and, you know, I mean, my desire in life is that America would become a nation that truly honors God in everything that it does, that its people would love him and bless him because of how outrageously he's blessed us. But the older I get, the less I see that happening. And so I'm kind of committed to doing research that will help unpack how did we get here and what can we do to turn it around. And I believe that this worldview issue is the heart of being able to turn it around. Before were looking at some of the data about people who have a biblical worldview and people who don't have one, and the dramatic differences between those two groups on almost every dimension of life. This isn't just about liberals versus conservatives, Republicans against Democrats. This is a war of worldviews. And if we can't get people to embrace a biblical worldview, we can't win that war.
You've been working on this for 30 years. How has it changed?
Well, what
we've
seen—
Are we losing ground all the
way? We are losing ground, yeah. I mean, we're losing ground across the board. Almost everything that I measure, we are losing ground. And part of the reason that I'm finding that out is when I've done research to try to figure out what influences Americans to think the way they think and do what they do. What I find is that the three most dramatic influences are parents, the media, and government. And so when we look at, well, what is the worldview being offered by parents? Oddly enough, none. It's essentially letting their children's worldview develop by default because they're not being intentional about teaching their children morality, values, character, all the things that matter. Some parents are, of course. But across the country, what we're seeing is a more laissez-faire approach to parenting. And then we look at the media. Who's going to fill that gap? Who's going to be the default influencer that parents aren't willing to be?
Yeah.
Well, the media is the dominant one. And, of course, if you look at the worldview that's being professed by the media, no wonder we're in the mess we're in. And then you look at the government, and, you know, some people are foolish enough to say, well, you can't legislate morality. Excuse me, that's all legislation is. Telling you right from wrong, which is what morality is, right from wrong. So every law is intended to communicate to us what's right, what's wrong, what's permissible, what's not, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. And kids every day are bumping up against that. Is this legal? Is it illegal? And so they begin to get an idea of what's reasonable to think, to do. How should I grow as a person? It's being shaped by the media and by the government.
Let's go back to percentages that you have in front of you there. This is just shocking to me. Let's look at them in the two categories, the secular worldview versus the biblical worldview, in various categories, age categories and everything. Generally speaking, the younger you are, the less likely you are to have a Christian or a biblical worldview.
Exactly. Yes. So when we look at some of the items that we've been measuring in our recent surveys, we look at perspectives like, what do you think success is? And in America today, the idea that success is only about your obedience and your commitment to God is a view that's held by 84% of people with a biblical worldview, but only 13% of the rest of the country. We look at things like abortion. Do you believe that abortion is moral or immoral? The idea that abortion is an immoral act, 88% of people with a biblical worldview would hold that view, but only 39% of the rest of the country would. Ideas like the fact that there are unchanging moral absolutes that exist and are knowable. Among people with a biblical worldview, 97% believe that, but only 37% of those with a secular worldview buy into that. We look at things like support for same-sex marriage. Only 8% of people with a biblical worldview believe that that's viable. 60% of the rest of the population, that 90% of the population, buys into that. The idea that culture has a very negative influence on our children, 64% of the people with a biblical worldview say, yes, culture does have a very negative impact on who our children become, but only 15% of the population with a secular worldview.
Now, George, you shared that with me before we started the program. That one really puts a lump in my throat, because that says that we as parents are failing. We're failing to teach what we believe to our children. They're growing up not knowing that some things are inevitably right and some things are inevitably wrong. There's a Christian worldview that should prick our consciences when we don't live up to it. But when you look at the fact that our young people are not growing up understanding that, then they don't know who they're accountable to. And that scares me more than anything else you could tell me, because there's no job that I consider more important than teaching your children who God is, what He expects of us, and how we're supposed to live, and what's right and what's wrong, and the Ten Commandments, and all of the values that we find in Scripture. And you said only 4% of millennials believe the godly, biblical worldview. Where are the parents? I mean, how are we dropping the ball? Is it that the culture is so overwhelming that it dominates whatever we wish we were teaching at home? Or is it that we're not taking our kids to church or Sunday school? We're not reading the Bible with them? I'm sure it's both of those, but they're both disturbing.
Yeah, and I think that's the question we need to be asking. You know, I mean, what we find when we do this kind of research is that, first of all, people don't talk and think about worldview. They just absorb stuff from all around them constantly.
Yeah.
And they kind of bolt it on to what they've already believed and what they already had. But they're not really working at becoming a person that honors God 24/7.
You know, George, I've got to interrupt you because our time is gone. Oh. And we're going to just pick up with where we are right now tomorrow. Because this is really a very critical question. We've got a job to do as moms and dads. And I hate to say it, and it upsets people when I do, but if you don't get this job done and your children grow up and go out to meet the Lord in eternity, without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will never see them again. Boy, I don't know if that won't get your attention.
Yeah, I mean, I just had the chill down the spine.
I know, and it hurts a lot of parents because they realize they didn't get that job done. Oh, we're going to have to pick this up next time. This is too big a question. Can we talk about this?
I'd love to do that.
Thanks for being with us, George. I appreciate the work you're doing.
Thanks so much.
That concludes part one of what will now be a two-part conversation on this crucial topic of a Christian worldview crisis in American homes. You've been listening to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Dr. Dobson's guest has been noted researcher and author George Barna. They've been discussing the results of Barna's Worldview Measurement Survey, and those results are quite shocking. Be sure to join us again next time for the conclusion of this conversation with researcher George Barna on the theme of A Christian Worldview Crisis. That's on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.